Feds are traveling less nowadays, and when they do, paperwork follows. Federal scientists say all of this is hurting research. The Assembly of Scientists says a new bill could do even more damage in the name of transparency. Joining us with more is Florence Hazeltine. She's president of the Assembly of Scientists. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's talk about that Data Act. What is it that is most harmful, do you feel, for scientific work in the federal government?
There are several problems with the Act. The first is, of course, it reduces funding for scientists to exchange information. And just to reiterate, scientists, and especially our public-funded scientists, are expected to solve problems by designing experiments. I think we all understand that. They lead to a better understanding of the world and our public health, but that one of the most important things that we have to do is share these discoveries with other scientists and with our public. And this tends to be a mandate, but when we're restricted, a lot of the type of work that scientists do becomes much more difficult.
So what are the restrictions that you see? Because there isn't really anything that says don't share the research.
No, you're absolutely right. And we do share research with journals and online communications. Modern technology has helped a great deal. However, I think that if you compare it to any profession, say Congress or congresspeople, they go out and they share what they're doing and they get feedback. They know it's important. There's no difference between that and what a scientist has to do. A scientist has to find other scientists, talk to them within a wide range of professions and related to what they're doing. So, for example, if you have an idea, you need to go and bounce it off of not just the people around you, but people around your area. That could be sometimes just the U.S. It could be sometimes scientists around the world. And you need feedback. If you don't get the feedback, you're not going to be able to do your experiments in the best way and that have actual application or increase our knowledge.
And in your letter to the to Tom Carper and Tom Coburn on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee of the Senate, you mentioned specifically Title IX of the Data Act. And it says simply that, it requires each federal agency to post on its public website detailed information on any presentation made by any employee at a conference. And in your letter, you say that would actually harm the ability for scientists to get their work published in prestigious journals. Tell us about that.
That is a key point of science. When we do our work, there are many stages. The first is you have to think of the idea. You often go to meetings or you communicate in many different ways what you're planning to do. That then gets feedback from other scientists. Many times you don't want to do it. It's not a fully worked out idea. If we have to start publishing that, the public will, number one, think we're actually doing it or that's the way things should be done, like you should take some medicine for a disorder, and it turns out that that wasn't thought out well or wasn't thought out completely. But the other critical point is that many times you're allowed to present your work as long and then publish it for, you know, the public good, and we share that. But if you publish it on the website, you're not able to publish it in a peer-reviewed journal because it's already been prior publication. So it hampers our ability to get proper peer review and then authenticated results out to the public.
I just want to ask you maybe to put this in perspective. You recently retired from NIH. When you talk about scientists there, how often do people think it's healthy to travel to conferences and present conferences and do things like that?
Well, there's several different kinds of conferences. One are the formal ones of the large societies, and there you meet people related to your work that more the presentations are fairly formal. The work is pretty well fleshed out, and there are questions and answers that come from the audience. And there you're apt to meet people in related areas, which allows you to broaden and become much more multidisciplinary. Then there's a second type of conference, which are very small conferences, usually no more than 100 or so people, where you present your work, but it's work in progress, and you are not allowed to, by the conference rules, not by the federal rules, but by the conference rules, to discuss any of the work you hear outside of that meeting or to present anything there that is already public information. And that is where a lot of work gets done. And those conferences occur at least once or twice a year, would be ideal for everybody to be able to attend these small conferences. They're usually by invitation, and we send our students. And this is where the work becomes critical. Our students and our trainees are going to end up suffering a huge amount by this type of restriction.
We're speaking with Florence Hazeltine. She is the president of the Assembly of Scientists and recently retired from NIH, where she is emeritus scientist. So it sounds like, in summary, what you're saying is this Data Act, we should say that stands for Digital Accountability and Transparency Act, not to be confused with the Data Protection Act, which is, and by the way, this Data Act we're talking about has been passed by the House, but not yet by the Senate. Sounds like what you're saying is that it goes against the culture and norms of the scientific community, and by extension, it could kind of push federal scientists outside of the mainstream a little bit.
Well, federal scientists are a large percentage of the scientists in this country, and when you reduce our ability, or, you know, their ability, I should say, to present their work, you're actually restricting the flow of scientific information to the U.S. public as well as the international community. So, and that discourages young people from going into the areas because they don't see, you know, that they can make progress in it. And anything that reduces or bottlenecks the flow of scientific information has impacts all the way up and down the line. But again, as I said, we're extremely worried about our young scientists.
But if I can play devil's advocate, given the large impact that federal scientists have on their fields of study and also federal money, don't you think that this could possibly spur the academia or industry to adapt and make things easier for the federal scientific community?
I'd like to think that, but I have some historical background which says that that probably is not going to happen.
Why?
Well, look at the super collider that was defunded in the early 90s in Texas. That collider would have provided American scientists with the ability to find the Higgs boson probably 10 years before that was discovered. That we lost 10 years of science, both in the U.S. and internationally, as a result of that. And now we're cutting back on funding for our scientists in many ways, some that, as I said, discourage young people more than others. And we're going to lose a next generation of trainees, as we did in physics, as a result of some of those decisions.
And any reaction yet from those senators on the letter you sent?
No.
Florence Hazeltine is president of the Assembly of Scientists. And Florence, thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you very much for your interest. This is very important to our young people.